Health Headlines with Dr. Barry Dworkin is presented by the Riverstone Retirement Communities of Oak Park and Bridlewood Trails, your complete continuum of care.
Dr. Barry Dworkin joins us with a look at health headlines every morning at this time. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Steve.
I find it a fascinating story. I'm sure it's not new to you, but it was to me that now in more centers in the United States, they're taking heart attack patients, the ones who've been revived and who are basically in coma, and they put them into therapeutic hypothermia, bring their body temperature way, way, way down.
Right, and the idea behind this is to preserve brain function. I mean, we've heard, Steve, of children at the bottom, unfortunately, found in ice-cold water, not breathing, and miraculously, they're revived, and there's no brain damage, and they're doing very well.
Right.
And the idea being that what happens after a cardiac arrest, that is, or in this case, it's patients with ventricular fibrillation, is that the brain lacks oxygen. It is literally the first organ to get starved for oxygen. And the problem arises when the heart is restarted. When the heart is restarted, the brain gets flooded with blood, oxygen starts to arrive, and the programming in the cells of the brain that have now been wounded or damaged, just as any cell in your body, when you get hurt, you get inflammation. Well, the brain is no different. It becomes inflamed, and it triggers in many of its cells, literally suicide programs in the brain cells, because they've been so damaged, they go, we can't survive, we have to shut down and preserve whatever else is available for cells that can survive. And as a result, these people with cardiac arrest end up with brain damage. What the cooling does, and by cooling it's about 6 degrees Fahrenheit or about 3 degrees, 4 degrees Celsius, is it literally slows down that process. It's like having a burn and applying ice or cold water right away after the burn to save the cells that have been damaged. It slows down that process, giving those cells a chance to survive, slowing down the suicide program so they really stop them in their tracks. And so in this case, whereas fewer than 8 out of every 100 people leave the hospital alive after a cardiac arrest, that rate is now going up. An analysis that was done by the Cochrane Collaboration, which is an independent organization looking at all the research that's out there for this particular type of procedure, is that on the basis of 481 patients, they found that cooling increased the number of people with good brain function by more than half.
Wow.
And overall survival to hospital discharge was slightly more than a third. So it really, in real numbers, it means that for every one extra patient will survive without brain damage for every 4 to 6 people that are cooled. That's a tremendous number when you think of the number that cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of morbidity and death in this country.
So is this common practice now, or is this just something that they think ought to be done that hospitals have yet to put in place?
In the United States, it's becoming more and more common practice. In Canada, I'm not sure what the practice is. I know from personal experience that my wife had this therapy done after she had a pulmonary embolus in her lungs that caused her heart to stop for a bit, and her body was cooled down to preserve brain function, and she did very, very well. So it is available, I know, at the Ottawa Hospital. In the ICU, they do this. I would imagine that if they're doing that in the ICU, it's likely they are doing this type of procedure for other patients. And the application then is not just for cardiac arrest, because it's really anything that would slow down blood flow or reduce oxygen delivery to the brain. You can use this therapy to try and give that patient at least a chance to have preserved brain function and to recover. The other things they're going to be looking at is in this case, it was patients with ventricular fibrillation. That is, people who had a heart that was still pumping but just inefficiently. They want to know, it's unknown if cooling is going to be equally effective if the heart is completely stopped or if it's completely stopped and then jump-started by a defibrillator, and how much speed matters when cooling a patient. How quickly do you have to get to them to make this effective? But again, this is ongoing research, which they are doing in the United States. And in Canada, it's not a difficult matter to cool a patient down. It's a matter, I think, of the logistics and the protocols that have to be instituted in the emergency room to coordinate with all staff.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're very welcome, Steve.
Dr. Barry Dworkin, 657 at 580 CFRA.